In Washington today, tensions with Iran are overshadowing President Trump's impeachment trial, which, when it starts, would become only the third such trial in U.S. history. Let's get some historical perspective from Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Hi, Julian.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we're on the brink of an impeachment trial and on the brink, possibly, of war with Iran. Can you think of any moment like this before in U.S. history?
Well, it sure brings back some memories of the impeachment of Bill Clinton when the House was getting ready to vote on the articles. He launches missile strikes at Iraq, and you had split-screen politics with people watching the impeachment debate in the House on one side and the missiles striking on the other. And similar questions were raised then by Republicans like Trent Lott, who asked questions about the timing.
Well, President Clinton actually addressed the nation from the Oval Office on December 16, 1998, hours after missiles struck Iraqi military sites and 3 days before the House voted to impeach him. And he brought up impeachment. Take a listen.
Saddam Hussein and the other enemies of peace may have thought that the serious debate currently before the House of Representatives would distract Americans or weaken our resolve to face him down. But once more, the United States has proven that although we are never eager to use force, when we must act in America's vital interests, we will do so.
Boy, it's interesting to hear that today in the context of what's going on now, Julian.
Absolutely. I mean, first, just hearing him call this a serious debate or discussion going on is very different in terms of demeanor than President Trump, who's dismissed the impeachment discussions altogether. But it again, was a moment when President Clinton decided he would try to govern, as he had done before the impeachment started, to demonstrate what American democracy is about, and also to demonstrate that he still was president despite what was going on. Very different than what we're seeing from President Trump and his Twitter feed these days.
Julian, I want to ask you about the U.S. relationship with Iraq in the context of history. The U.S. invaded in 2003, formally withdrew troops in 2011, but thousands of coalition troops remain in an advisory capacity. They've now been asked by the Iraqi parliament to leave Iraq after all these years. What would that mean? And did we get anything out of our involvement there after all these years?
I think the news is it's pretty devastating as an ending. In 2003, when President Bush started the military operations that would bring down Hussein, there were promises that Iraq would be a beacon of democracy and stability in the region, that it would be a long-term ally for the U.S. from that moment forward. But that's not what happened. We ended up in a war that had huge human and financial costs. There's been continued instability surrounding Iraq and the entire area. And now we leave in some ways with our heads down. It's not quite the U.S. fleeing Saigon in 1975, but I think there's a little bit of that feeling.
And what about the relationship between the U.S. and Iran? This has been an uneasy relationship, to say the least, over the past many decades. But how did we get here to the brink of war?
Well, you go all the way back to 1953 when the U.S. and the CIA orchestrated a coup to get rid of the government that was in place. Fast forward to 1979 when there's a revolution in Iran and American hostages are taken captive and held until 1981. And then moving forward to the tensions that have existed really for the last decade with the new Iranian regime. And there's been different approaches. President Obama tried to negotiate an agreement to contain Iran, and now we've moved toward a more military posture in dealing with the situation. But clearly, right now, this is about as bad as it's been for over a decade.
One more thing I want to ask you about, Julian, just briefly. President Lincoln famously had a team of rivals in his cabinet to advise him. When you look at the people advising President Trump, it's not that.
No, it's an unstable team of yes men. All the moderate, slight skeptics are out. All that remain are people who generally agree or support whatever the president says. And what's most different is you have a president who doesn't have much policy knowledge, who's not committed to traditional forms of governance, and who acts impulsively. So you have people surrounding him as he does all this saying yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are uneasy about what comes next.
That is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thanks.
Thanks for having me.